وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. آمين to your beautiful دعاز as always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you under the shadow of his rahmah and take great amount of khidmat of the deen from you. Amin. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, today we're going to speak about a hadith that relates to the preaching of the principal tenets and the fundamentals of Islam. So it is related by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, that when the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Hazrat Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an as the governor of Yemen, he told him at the time when he was bidding him farewell, you are going to a people who are the Ahl Kitab. So Ahl Kitab are those who profess a religion revealed and contained in the scripture. And the Ahl Kitab of those days refer to the Jews and the Christians, because the Jews, the book that they had was the Torah, and the Christians had the Injil. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, so when you reach them, invite them to the truth that no one is worthy of worship besides Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. If they accept and affirm it, tell them that Allah has enjoined 5 prayers upon them during the day and night. If they also accept it, tell them that in addition to it, Allah has enjoined zakah upon them, which will be taken from the well-to-do of the community and distributed to their needy and poor ones. So if they agree to it as well, desist from laying your hands on the best of their wealth while realizing the zakat from them, and fear the cry of the oppressed. For there is no veil between the oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the hadith that is related in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. Now, according to Imam Bukhari and some other scholars, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala an as the governor of Yemen in 10 AH, the 10th year after Hijri. But according to most biographers and writers, it stated 9 AH. Anyway, while bidding him farewell, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him these instructions regarding the preaching of Islam to its people, to the area where he's going to. So this has led some people to raise a question about this hadith that in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned only salah and zakah, though fasting and the Hajj had also been prescribed to the Muslims as a religious duty by that time. So different commentators have explained it in various ways. But, you know, the preferred view is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was giving instructions to Hazrat Mu'az alayhi salam, he was trying to tell him not to describe all the commands and obligations that became binding on a person when he embraced Islam, because it would be too much for him to comprehend. So just simply indicate to him the sequence, you know, which should be followed in the preaching and propagation of faith, the basic ones. So all the tenets and requirements of Islam and laws, of Islam and injunctions of the Sharia need to be placed at once before the people, for in that case it may be hard for them to accept the faith willingly. So if you put everything in one, it will be very difficult for them to accept. On the other hand, first of all, the creed of divine unity and the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be presented to them. Tawheed, you know, Iman. And when they have accepted it, they should be told that Allah, who is the Lord, the Sovereign, and the one and only creator of all the universe, he has also enjoined 5 daily prayers upon his bondsmen. And when they have accepted it as well, they should be told that Allah has prescribed zakat on their wealth, which will be realized from the rich and given away to the poor of the community. So be that as it may, the object of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to expound the wise and the more sensible principles of Islam, you know, gradually in the preaching of faith. Or else, you know, what will happen is the essential limits and law of Islam were already known to Muaz. It was not necessary to describe all of them on this occasion. But now taking the deen to a new Muslim, you know, it was laid very, very simply to them. So besides Salat and Zakah, undoubtedly the two most important tenets of Islam, and the greatest stress has been laid on them in the Quran. For Salah and Zakat, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a very, very great stress on them. Because if anyone begins to carry them out habitually, it becomes easy for him to observe the other duties as well. So in disciplining oneself, these duties also play a very, very pivotal role. Now, one is relating to the body in terms of Salah, and the other one according to our monetary standing, and that is Zakah. So perhaps it's for this reason that Salah and Zakat are at many places mentioned side by side in the Quran and the Sunnah. For example, it is stated in Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. In Surah Bayyinah, it is mentioned that they are ordained not to worship anything else, anybody else, any being except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa liya'budullah. Mukhlisina lahuddin. Keeping religion pure for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as men, by nature, we must be upright. And to establish worship, prayers, salah, and to pay zakah. Zalika deenul qayyimah. That is the true religion. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. But if they repent and establish salah and pay zakah, then they are brethren in religion. And there is a hadith narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He say, you know, it is mentioned, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. I am commanded to fight people till they bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and they establish prayer and pay zakah. So these selections from Quran and Hadith, you know, give us an aspect of understanding the true fact that, you know, salah and zakat has only been mentioned, but for reasons best that these are the two important ones and the others do follow. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the directions to Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that when the time for the collection of zakat came, he should refrain from picking out the best of the assessee's wealth, like agricultural produce and cattle, and take only those of the average standard. You know, so fair play, you know, in executing zakat as well. Lastly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to guard against the curses of the wronged one. That is, avoid being cruel and unjust to the people to whom he was being sent as a governor. For there was no barrier and veil between the cry of the aggrieved and the oppressor and the Almighty Creator. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also reported to have said, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, that da'watul mazlumi mustajabatun wa in kana fajiran فَفُجُورُهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. The curses of the oppressed is accepted in any case. If he happens to be an evildoer, you know, the oppressed one, then the punishment of the evil doing, that is a separate issue, it's on him. But that is a supplication of the oppressed against the oppressor is granted in spite of his sinfulness and immorality. So likewise in Musnad Ahmad, again it is stated on the authority of Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, da'watul mazlumi mustajabatun wa in kana kafiran laysa dunahu hijab. That the curse of the wronged one is granted, even though he is an infidel, there is no veil, you know, in its path. So from the above hadith, we also learn that the recognition of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the observance of the earlier prophets and believers in the scriptures belonging to the previous periods, you know, they profess the Tawheed. So to profess their former faith is now after the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to profess their former faith is now not enough for deliverance, you know, the Yahud and the Nasara. So the so-called educated Muslims of our time who hold the religious communities like the Jews and Christians, and they say they can attain the good pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and salvation by adhering to their ancient ways of law, and it is not binding on them to follow the Islamic Sharia, they are either ignorant of the Islamic faith and its fundamental principles, or they may be just mere hypocrites. So from this we realize that once the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has manifested itself, it is now necessary for people to abide by that. Now there's a clear-cut hadith that a person cannot attain salvation who does not believe in the Messenger of Allah and profess the religion brought by him, inna deena indallahi al-Islam. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, he relates that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by him in whose hand is the life of Muhammad, a Jew or a Christian of the present Ummah, that is belonging to the present age, who hears about me, it is the call of my prophethood reaches him, and yet dies without affirming faith in the religion brought by me, will surely be among the dwellers of hell. So the reference to the Jew and Christian in the above hadith is only by way of an illustration. What it aims at emphasizing is that when people of the scripture, like the Jews and Christians, cannot achieve deliverance without acknowledging the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepting the Islamic Sharia as their way of life, one can imagine what the end of the infidels and the mushrikeen, the polytheists is going to be. So this hadith clearly implies that in the current era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which began with his being raised up as a messenger of Allah, it shall endure till the last day. Now, no other Nabi will come. Anyone to whom the call of his prophethood reaches, but he does not believe in him, nor accept the religion revealed through him as his own, and dies in that state, then he will go to Jahannam, to hell, whether he be a Jew or a Christian. And, you know, we can discuss on another occasion the Jews and the Christians, how they had deviated from the teachings of their Anbiya and their prophets. So, in a nutshell, I would say with the raising up of the last prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, belief in him, salvation is not possible. You know, we have to affirm our faith in him and we've got to accept his Sharia, the deen of Islam. So, whoever may have not received the knowledge of his mission or heard the call of Islam is, of course, free from guilt because he doesn't know. So, it is a fundamental principle of Islam, and any doubt in respect of it can only be due to lack of the appreciation of the true significance of the mission of the sacred prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a great ni'mah and rahmah lil alameen, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen, and that we can abide by the way that he has taught us, follow his practical example and his mubarak sunnahs, bring them into our lives, and be very close to him and love him immensely and send durood and salutations on him. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.